The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, September 29th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We got a jam-packed show today. All sorts of great stuff coming up on today's Normal Show Live. Let's begin by introducing our senior news editor out there at our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon. It's the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie. Hey, guess what? This will work better if I plug you in. Say that again.
I was just going to say, every time that I hear senior, I just think old.
Oh, no, Carrie. You are just the right age.
Thank you.
So what do we have in our news stories today, Carrie?
Well, today we are going to cover some more on a story that we've been following. You know, we've been following the story out of Arizona and their medical marijuana program. And we're going to give you some updates because the attorney general in that state had a few things to say about it yesterday. Also, I have some news in sports, a fighter who was disqualified because of a positive drug test. And then we're going to head to Montana to see how they are doing on gathering signatures for their ballot initiative. All that coming up on the Hemp Headlines today.
All right. Excellent. Also, I've got news coming out of Helena, Montana. More reaction up there in Montana to the ATF memo that reported earlier this week. And coming up on tomorrow's show, I'm working on booking Ed Doctor from the Montana Cannabis Industries Association and one of the leaders of the Montana Shooting Sports Association to talk about this removal of Second Amendment rights for medical marijuana patients. It's certainly lighting things up here out in the West. Also, coming up on today's show at the 20 after break, we're going to get you to John Doe Radio's Groovin' Thursday. John Doe's bringing us some great music today from Graf, and it's a tune called Stoned, so we can't wait to get to that. Then, at half past the hour, it's one of those odd Thursdays, and on the odd Thursdays, we visit with Terry Joyce in our Southern California scene. Terry Joyce is also our Hollywood Hemptress, featured on the Hollywood Hemptress Hour tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Normal Network. Terry's got a guest today for the interview. It's Heather Fry, the daughter of Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer, two medical marijuana providers who are currently doing 5 years in prison because they were helping people out with medical marijuana in a state that allows it with the blessing of their local city council. So we'll talk to Heather about that and how you can help Free Doc Fry. Please check out freedocfry.com. And then at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Normal petition that is currently sitting at number one at the We the People website at whitehouse.gov. Once again, for the ninth time, we're number one. We're going to take a look back at all the other petitions, how we've dominated the discussion on these online forums at the White House. And we'll be taking your calls in hour two at 971-533-7111. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation here every weekday at live.normal.org. Stay tuned. The news is next.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Hey, this is John Papa. You're listening to The Normal Show Live.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
And we've got some sports news to start with first. UFC fighter Dave Herman was wiped from the UFC 136 bill yesterday for undisclosed reasons. But today we found out that he won't be fighting in the match that he was favored to win because he failed a drug test for marijuana. He said he denies the charge and came out this morning in a news conference expressing his frustration since he has been training so hard. He says he feels like he's in the best shape of his life and the best mental state and that he had going into a fight. And Herman insists that he submitted a urine sample to the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation through an independent testing service on September 15th. 1 week later, the heavyweight claims that he was called by the commission and told that he would need to resubmit his specimen as the first sample had been lost. He says he had been trying to talk to the Texas commission, but he went to test a week later. They called him and said that he had failed due to a positive test for marijuana. He maintains that that is impossible. He says that after he failed the first test, the Texas Commission on Licensing and Regulation told him that his first sample had not been lost, in fact, but that the second test was serving to screen for performance-enhancing drugs, while the first test was testing for drugs of abuse. Now, it's unclear at this time why Herman was asked to take a second test, if indeed his first test was flagged. Herman maintains that he does not smoke marijuana. Those are his words. I'm just remembering Bill Clinton's words as well. But he hasn't had any alcohol either in over 2 months while he's been in training. He's really disappointed he won't make the fight. And the fight that he isn't scheduled for will still go on with some featherweights on October 8th in Houston.
Oh, poor guy. You know, it seems odd to me that here we got a guy who's going to train to be in the best shape of his life, you know, aerobically conditioned, weight trained, and working to learn how to punch other people in the head and the body and to use arm bars and leg locks and wrist holds and all sorts of excruciatingly painful ways to get a person to submit, even choking a person until they become unconscious. And yet we need to protect these guys from smoking weed. Does it seem a little strange to you that we're that concerned about it? Of course, I know what everyone will say is like, oh, it's illegal. It's illegal. What about the children? You know, don't want to be a bad role model or a bad influence. But come on now. You know, there might be an argument to be made for performance enhancing substances, even though I don't agree with it either. But marijuana, really, other than the fact that it's just illegal and frowned upon in society, is it really causing any harm to the fighters? Now, Now, on the other hand, I've had some mixed martial artists on the show who've explained to me that marijuana use could be considered performance enhancing in that helps you to tolerate pain, allows you to be more flexible, slows down time for your reactions to punching and defending and all of that. But still, I think that we ought to just have legal marijuana so that we don't care about whether or not they used pot just as much as we don't care whether or not they had a beer the night before.
I have to remember to unmute on my side, too. All right. And in an update of a story that we're following here on The Stash, nearly a year after voters in Arizona legalized the use of medical marijuana, the program is still up in the air thanks to that lawsuit that was filed by the Arizona governor's office over dispensaries. Patients have been able to apply and receive medical marijuana consumer cards, but the Arizona Attorney General, Tom Horn, has been keeping vigilant on the state's lawsuit. He has ordered the Arizona Department of Health and Services to reject any and all applications for medical marijuana dispensaries until further notice. He has long held on to and spoken at length about the need for the lawsuit because of the federal government's stance that possession and dealing in marijuana is a crime that circumvents medical marijuana laws of the state. He's also held on to that, even though the Justice Department has clearly said they have no intentions of pursuing legal charges against any state employees. Still, this week, Horn is insisting that his concern will go away as soon as a federal judge clarifies the law so Arizona doesn't have situations like what he says is occurring in Colorado, where someone who's filled out all the proper papers and followed state law to dispense marijuana was prosecuted by the federal government. Horn did admit on Wednesday that he is not a supporter of medical marijuana dispensaries or patients being allowed to grow their own. Big surprise there. But he said that his lawsuit, which may not be settled for months into the future, is in no way circumventing the will of the voters. He told reporters, referring to the letter that his state received back in June, quote, "From the time I took office in January until this letter came out from the feds in June, we were planning to implement this program based on the fact the U.S. government said earlier they would not prosecute people. But once we feel that position changed, that changed the whole situation," unquote. He has been emboldened by the new memo as well by the ATF that we've talked about here on the show. Valley Attorney Tom Irvine said on Wednesday after the news conference that if someone comes in with a state of Arizona medical marijuana ID card as a government-issued ID to purchase a gun under federal law, that's illegal, adding that lying on a firearms application about the use of marijuana could result in serious prison time for those convicted of perjury. Sounds like a veiled threat to those Arizonans wanting to get involved with the medical marijuana program in their state. That's too bad. Russ?
Yeah, once again here, it's clear that the officials in Arizona don't like medical marijuana. They just want to do everything they can to obstruct it, to prevent it from going into a force. And once again, this AG, he's not fooling anyone. I mean, you can call a chicken a duck, but that don't make it a duck, right? You can say that, oh, yeah, we really wanted to do this, but we're not believing you. It's so clear that you have an ulterior motive. You have a separate agenda here to try to stop the patients from Arizona from recognizing their rights as they voted in legally and duly this last election to the dispensation, use, cultivation of medical marijuana. It's just shameful to see our public officials like this stonewalling and trying to confuse the issue and delaying and dragging their heels and using every trick they can. Now even threatening patients with the, oh, you better not get a card, you can't have a gun, with that kind of rhetoric. It's ridiculous. I'm sure that the people of Arizona wouldn't want to stand for this. We've got to continue the pressure on these people and overgrow this government.
And a victory today. We're going to call it a victory. Even with the last voter signatures due to be turned in Friday afternoon, it now appears that an initiative referendum campaign to undo regressive changes in Montana's medical marijuana law will be on the November 2012 ballot. That's right. Organizers for IR-124 said on Wednesday that they've already turned in over 40,000 signatures and are turning in even more before Friday. Now, they only needed 24,337 valid signatures to appear on that ballot, and they will turn in thousands more by Friday's 5 p.m. deadline. As of Wednesday, the Montana Secretary of State's office reported that 19,973 valid signatures had been received. And that's a lagging indicator because in Montana, the signatures are handed in first to county officials who validate the signatures and then send them on to Helena. So as many as 10,000 gathered signatures are still being examined by the county officials now, and still are more coming in the next couple of days. Rose Habib of Patients for Reform, Not Repeal, which is spearheading the effort, even though cannabis and patient advocates all over the state have been helping get those signatures, says that the signature gathering has gone really well, and they are very confident that they will make the ballot. Montana law also requires initiatives to get signatures from at least 5% of the voters in at least 34 of the state's 100 legislative districts. So far, the initiative has done that in 31 districts, and the campaign is confident that it will pass that hurdle as well. Habib said that the almost all-volunteer effort, now there were a handful of paid signature gatherers just in the last 2 weeks, was successful because people are very strongly motivated. She told the Billings Gazette today, "People feel very strongly that they were not represented by the legislature, and what they do and how they earn a living and how they medicate themselves is something that is completely defensible and needs to be dealt with responsibly by the legislature," unquote. Now, this initiative campaign is in response to the Republican-controlled state legislature, which first passed a bill to completely repeal the state's voter-approved medical marijuana law, and then, after it was vetoed by Governor Brian Schweitzer, they passed another bill, Senate Bill 423, essentially gutting the state's medical marijuana distribution system. That bill was challenged in court, and parts of it were enjoined, but other troubling portions of it remain in effect. Now, that is until the voters of Montana get their say. At least we hope so.
Well, kudos to them for getting this almost on the ballot. It sounds like it's going to make it to the ballot. And again, an all-volunteer effort, which amazing how motivated volunteers get when you start taking away their rights. 5% of the voters from 34 districts, they got 31 so far, looks like they're going to make that. Doesn't look like they're going to make the 15%, though. The interesting thing in Montana law, by making 5%, this law stays in effect until they can vote on it, and then the people can vote this law out. If they had gotten 15%, the law would have been put on hold immediately until the voters decide whether or not to get rid of it or to keep it. So I wish we could have gotten that 15%, but 5% sounds good to me. We'll get that on the ballot. The people of Montana will speak out. We'll get this repeal light itself repealed, and the people of Montana can go back to enjoying the medical marijuana rights that they originally put into their laws back in 2004. All right, got some more news for you. Speaking of Montana, we are still covering the fallout from this ATF memo. This is from the USA Today, so it's apparently it's getting beyond just the internal marijuana community news and the local news in Montana, but now getting out to USA Today. I've also seen reports on this on CBS and ABC and other outlets. This from USA Today: medical marijuana patients angered by firearms limits, written by John S. Adams. From Helena, Montana, Robbie Regenitor is a registered medical marijuana patient. Regenitor says he ingests approximately 10 to 20 milligrams of THC, the active compound in marijuana, each night before bed to ease the painful symptoms of gastroesophageal reflux disease and Barrett's esophagus, a condition in which the tissue lining his esophagus is replaced by tissue similar to the lining of the intestine. Regenitor is also a hunter and a gun owner. But according to a new memo from the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, it is illegal for Regenitor or any registered medical marijuana patients to own or possess firearms. The letter, written last week by ATF Assistant Director Arthur Herbert to all federal firearms licensees, gave them guidance on what to do if a firearms customer reveals that he or she is a medical marijuana patient. According to the letter, quote, "Any person who uses or is addicted to marijuana, regardless of whether his or her state has passed legislation authorizing marijuana use for medicinal purposes, is an unlawful user of or addicted to a controlled substance, and is prohibited by federal law from possessing firearms or ammunition," end quote. Regenitor said he was stunned when he learned about the memo. Quote, "At the moment it concerns me, but I'm not going to stop taking medical marijuana, and I'm not going to give up my firearms," Regenitor said. "I don't use THC recreationally. I use it because it helps me. I eat it at night before I go to bed, and I don't have terrible heartburn. I don't have pain, and I don't want to puke," end quote. John Sverin, a 15-year Navy veteran who was honorably discharged in 2009, is also a medical marijuana patient who is recovering from a surgery last November to repair a severe injury to his back. Sverin, who lives and works on a farm north of Hardin, is also a gun owner who hunts birds and uses guns on a farm to control varmints. All right, came a little early, but it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will have some great grooving Thursday music for you with John Doe Radio. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is coming to Detroit on October 15th and 16th. That's right. The world's premier medical marijuana competition will be in Motown to celebrate the cannabis economy of the Great Lakes State. It's a two-day expo at Birch Warehouse Theater, showcasing the movers and shakers of the Michigan medical marijuana industry and the merchandise that makes the machine go. There'll be seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, and activists. Plus, High Times' own cultivation editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido will roll into town with the goods on growing great ganja. Be there for an amazing Saturday night VIP party featuring top musical performances and special guests. High Times will award the Medical Cannabis Cup for top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles. Entered by Michigan's dispensaries and collectives. Come to Birch Warehouse Theater on October 15th and 16th. Visit MedCanCup.com for all the details. Celebrate cannabis in Michigan. Celebrate the resurgence of Detroit. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Remember, friends don't let friends drive stoned. Friends help friends finish off that sack, take a walk to the convenience store, load up on munchies, and crash on the couch. That's what friends do.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe Radio.
John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. Song is from an artist named Graf, born Philip Bernard. Hails from Jamaica, Queens, New York. Made a name for himself on the mixtape circuit, where he garnered early support from influential mix show DJs in New York. Has been played on the East Coast very heavily. His skill, charisma, honesty, and determination obvious that has generated a buzz around. The dude hasn't even released an album yet is featured on video games, done tons of different TV shows, Fox's Meth and Red, BET's The Ultimate Hustler, HBO's Entourage, list goes on and on. No longer do artists need even a full album to hit the big time anymore, but if you'd like to pick up the new one from Graf, the Rule EP, out now. This song called Stones, you heard it right here on Normal Show Live. I am John Doe. Thank you to Radical Russ Belleville, Ganja John, Calico Castile, Cannabis Carrie, everybody, the whole crew at Normal Show Live. You guys rock. Listeners, don't miss JDR Monday through Friday on the Normal Network, 8 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Pacific. Till we meet again next week. See ya.
Chains on. Eyes low. You red, baby. Mad out. Strip search your bitch. 5 out. She in my bed trying to do top out. Quick splash. Don't stop drinking. Roll more pot till you stop thinking. What's up, Trick? Round. Nice. That booty me be clapping and surround sound. Dollars in the puddle, got a couple you could drown round. Tell your girlfriend, meet you downtown. I just wanna see it. Candy in your panty, mama, I'ma trick or treat it. Mine get deleted. Loving on that greenery. Look up in the background, hoes in the scenery. Women, they all over me, I don't know what they mean to me. Let them lap dance, lot of ass on my dinner. Yes, I'm stoned. Liquor spilling on me, that's the Hennessy cologne. Should kill it all, margarita, Henny, a Patron. Pick your own poison, just get up in the zone. Stone.
Champagne bottles to the back of the club. Let's drink up all night long. Yeah, baby, when you see me, it's just so much love. Get loose, mama, this your song.
Run a town, run away, run around. I open it up, I shut it down. I tear the roof off and shake it up and down. Go hard, go home. My bezel is surrounded by a snow cone. Lady friend, hi tootsie. Your booty softer than a grandma cookie. Gotta try to hook me, mommy, I am not a rookie. I am busy, wanna spend some time, you gotta book me. Jet plane. I fly high, I ain't parking in the lot. I fly by, smoking on that spinach. I be finished, got me sky high. Every time you talk, I'm hearing blah blah. I just wanna see it. You mean it when you show it? Show me that you mean it.
Champagne bottles to the back of the club. Let's drink up all night long. Yeah, baby, when you see me, it's just so much love. Get loose, mama, this your song.
Copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
Do you mind if we dance with your dates?
Why, no, not at all.
Go right ahead.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Well, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it. Fire it up right now.
Weed.
That's Hoovy Valley, Hoovy Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We're having some fun getting the Skype calls put together and getting everyone on the line for this next interview. But we are trying to get Heather Fry on the line. And for those of you that don't know, Heather Fry is the daughter of Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer. They are a couple that are currently serving 5 years in prison. They were convicted for growing and distributing more than 100 marijuana plants. And in order to do that, the government actually counted up their harvests from three separate years and totaled them together in order to come up with a number greater than 100 so that they could sentence these grandparents to 5 years in prison. And the saddest part of the story is that they were working with how they believe to be completely in the letter of the law within the state of California. They even went so far as to contact their local city fathers to talk to the city government and the county there to let them know what they were doing with their marijuana farm, to let them know that everything was legit, that they were patients, themselves. Dr. Fry is a cancer survivor, to let them know that everything was on the up and up. And they were supposedly encouraged by the state and the city government there to go ahead with what they were doing, told that everything they were doing was on the up and up, that they'd filled all the right paperwork and so forth, only to find that some of those officials had been working behind the scenes to help set them up for this federal prosecution. It's a terrible, terrible story, and we want to encourage all of you to get involved and help out. You can go to the website, which is freedocfry.com, freedocfry.com, to find out more information. Let's go to our Skype line right now, and we'll see if we can get Terry Joyce on the line. Terry, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, sorry about having the difficulties there trying to get a hold of Heather. Any new news for me?
You know what? As far as I can tell, I don't know. I don't know what happened. We corresponded. She said that she would be open between 1:15 and 1:45. And the line is busy, which I'm thinking maybe there's something actually really going on right now. I know that she really wants to be on the show. She wants to get the word out as much as she can to people, to get their story out and, support. It's been a really hard, and it's interesting to hear her view of it, because you get the stress that she had as being their daughter, what she's gone through. She also was, a part of the raids that happened. She even mentioned that her children were at the house because their parents' home was raided too as well. She had her baby left for hours in a diaper that had not been changed because it couldn't get to. So it's a whole family tragedy, really.
Right.
And what I found compelling too and interesting was that her father was actually running for office he was an attorney, a prominent attorney, and very well known for helping people. Say for instance you were a medical marijuana patient and you got arrested for having your medicine on you. That he helped a lot of them to go free. He was known for legally helping people in court. And it was right around the time when he was running for office, he may have won. That was the time they decided to start tapping them and going after them.
Right.
Them down.
Yeah, it's so obvious what they've been doing here too, trying to, shut them down because they were so successful in helping people out and helping people understand their rights. Dale Schaefer had talked to us on the show about that too, is that he felt this, a lot of this was politically motivated because they were so successful in getting people on the program, to use medical marijuana and to know what their rights were. Now, Terry, when did you first meet Heather? How did you come about meeting Heather Fry?
Well, Heather Facebooked me.
Okay.
The good old Facebook. She said that she was following the show Hollywood Hempter's Hour, and that she was a fan, basically, which was really nice. And then she let me know about her parent situation and asked if she could be on the show. And so when I read their story and looked over their website, I was just in shock. I'm in shock about how you think our judicial system really protects justice and the rights of people. And I just went through my own experience with being in court, and it's really about their agenda in many ways. It's about the haves and the have not.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I feel that it's for the corporation, by the corporation, not for the people, by the people right now. And that really disappoints me. And so I heard her story, and I heard about how they combined, the years of them growing their marijuana and saying this and just doing whatever they could to, on paper, sentence them and put them in jail and put them in prison is just... it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is disgusting. And we're speaking with Terry Joyce here from the Hollywood Hemptress Hour, which is appearing tonight. You'll be able to hear it tonight at 8 p.m. What do we have for the hour tonight? Do you have some guests on for today's show?
Well, I do. What we did recently, because we pre-taped this last week, whatever you're going to download for tonight. I'm really excited to talk about this too. Is we're involved with the Pot Parlor Parties too. We Shiloh Jinglefoot, who has a regular segment on Hollywood Hempress Hour, Glicious Dishes. She's the author of what is she an author of again? My mind's blanking. Glicious Dishes. Gondolicious.
There we go.
A higher level of food. That's it. There's so much to remember. She has created her own menu. We have our own special menu to go alongside the pop parlor parties, which is something that Normal is organizing to mm-hmm. create awareness for mainstream audiences about Prohibition. Ken Burns, the filmmaker.
Right. That Ken Burns PBS documentary on Prohibition is coming out this weekend, right?
Yes, it is. This Sunday, October 2nd.
Right. And we've got the pot parlor parties going on all over. You can check out normal.org for more information on that. But the idea here is basically to, you know, let people, you know about this Prohibition documentary and to parallel it with what's going on here with marijuana. I mean, alcohol prohibition, it only took us 13 years to realize what a violent failure it was. It's taken us 74 years here before we're just scratching the surface of ending prohibition. So we hope that this has its intended effect. And a lot of people see that documentary.
Yes. I'm that's what we're hoping too. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. She has a really great menu. She created her own menu. Uh-huh. And on the show, she gives a recipe on how to make it, but it's called Chilling on the China Express. And she has get fried egg rolls, 420 teriyaki sauce, and get twisted sweet and sour sauce. And she has those recipes, and so we feature her. We also talked a lot about, we're talking about the difference between Colorado laws and California laws. And in Denver, I didn't realize this, but they actually have cameras on their grow room that go all the way to the courthouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, right to law enforcement, to the enforcement divisions. Yeah, they have videotape everyone from seed to sale. If you work at the dispensary, you have to have your badge on at all times. I mean, they have regulated it to the, you know, to the very nth degree there in Colorado.
That's amazing. It's Colorado. Colorado's laws are, in some ways, they're implementing things that I feel that should be a role model for the other states. I don't know about you, but I feel sometimes that our state's a little bit of out of control on their regulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we see on one hand Jerry Brown signing that new AB 1300 that says that or is it 3100? Guy might have that backwards, but that the cities can further zone and regulate dispensaries out of business. But then he turns around and vetoes the other bill that said that dispensaries have to be 600 feet away from residential areas. So it seems like even the governor doesn't really know what direction he wants to go with this.
Yeah, but at least, I mean, I am happy that he did veto that bill. But yeah, it does seem that way. It seems like we're kind of in a quandary right now. And I don't know, Russ. I feel that in some ways, California, or specifically Southern California, we're greedy and we're kind of blatant about it. you know what I mean? We're blatant in our commercialism. You know, you walk down Sunset Boulevard, you're just bombarded with billboard after billboard after billboard of advertisement. And, you know, the city drives on the mentality of, you know, let's get ahead, let's make a dollar. And in some ways, I feel that it's that attitude that has kind of, that has caused, is the root of some of our problems of being taken legitimate.
Yeah, and you know, that leads me to, you know, another conversation. You know, back in 2010, we had the Dragonfly De La Luzes and the Stoners Against Legalization saying, don't vote for Prop 19. Oh, my God, it's terrible. It's the worst thing ever. And besides, in 2012, we'll have something better to vote for. How's it looking for 2012? Does it look like anything's getting on the ballot down there? How many initiatives are going? What's the scene down there?
Well, you know, there's a talk about something about hemp going on the ballot this year. But I really, in terms of like another, you know, let's legalize it across the board, I haven't heard of that yet.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, I've heard of the Jack Hare hemp initiative happening. But the problem is that, you know, if we grow hemp in California, then we may be ruining our actual, you know, sativa or our cannabis, our marijuana crop. Mm-hmm. And being that, I mean, come on, let's face it, our agricultural soil is so rich and so prime to make the medicine or the recreational drug that we so enjoy, however we want to call it. Why, I feel that industrial hemp really shouldn't be grown in California. It should go someplace like Kentucky or, you know, Nebraska or other parts of the country where, you know, where it's not going to harm, we need to not harm, we don't, you know, come on, we don't want to ruin our bud.
I see what you're saying, because the worry is that the great big fields of industrial hemp, all that hemp pollen would get in the air and it would float out to Humboldt and ruin the outdoor medical marijuana crops. Is that, that's the fear?
That's right. Keep it away from the Emerald Triangle. Keep it away from Oz.
So we may have a situation where in 2010, it was the I Got's Mind syndrome of medical folks not wanting recreational. Now we might have an I Got's Mind syndrome of medical folks not wanting hemp. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Well, we want hemp. You know, I mean, obviously, I believe that, you know, my personal feeling is that hemp is the plant that can save the planet, and it needs to be legalized. We need to stop using foreign oil. We need to stop using oil. We need to stop raping the earth. And we do have an alternative. And I don't really understand why industrial hemp doesn't exist anyways.
Yeah, we're the only country in the world that allows the use of hemp products, the purchase of hemp products, the manufacture of things from the raw hemp material, but doesn't allow the country to grow it. We have to import the raw material, but once we have it, we can do anything we want with it. It's insane. We're also the only country that has both illegal cannabis and illegal hemp. All the other countries that have legal hemp have illegal cannabis. So obviously they can figure out the difference between the two, except here in America.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, but if you look at it, what are we actually making in America anyway?
That's true.
I mean, you know, that's our problem. I feel like, hey, let's legalize it. Let's take it back. Let's start making at least one thing in this country that we're actually making.
Yeah.
And we're actually contributing to the world.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to see American farming and manufacturing jobs on the rise again?
Would it be nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, there's really no reason why it shouldn't be happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a crazy situation, and of course the craziest situation is that we're putting people in cages for a plant, and again, we want to remind folks, we were trying to get a hold of Heather Fry for today's show. Unfortunately, some difficulties getting her on the line, but that doesn't mean that we're not thinking about her, thinking about her family, and thinking about her mom and dad. Please visit freedocfry.com to make donations, to give your support, to send letters. Letters are very, very helpful. It keeps people's spirits up when they're trapped in a cage like that. And before we let you go, Terry, tell us about what's up with you, your performances, and any plugs for Hollywood Hemptress we need to know about.
Well, you know, please do check out the blog at HollywoodHemptressHour.com and like the Hollywood Hemptress Facebook page. Please become involved that way. It's just moving on. Our next show is next Wednesday. We'll be taping. And I just want people to be aware of that. There's Eagle Rock is having its first festival. It's for Cannabis United with the Community, Cannabis Clubs United with the Community. And Morning Glory, there's going to be a Grateful Dead band out there, and I'll be emceeing and hosting and doing some stand-up. So come out and support that way. We have that going on here in Southern California.
All right. It sounds good. And Terry Joyce, our Hollywood Hemptress, we love talking to you every odd Thursday here on Normal Show Live. Keep things shiny and sunny down there in Southern California, and we'll see you the next time we see you.
Thank you, Russ.
All right.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Yo, what's good? This is B-Real of Cypress Hill chilling on Normal Show Live. Legalize it.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
All right. Welcome back, everyone. I got to talk a little bit about this WhiteHouse.gov situation, the We the People petitions that are up right now. Once again, President Obama has asked us for the ninth time, that is, to solicit questions from the people on the subject of public policy. And once again, marijuana legalization is dominating that process. Let me give you a little chart here to go along with our discussion. This is a chart of the top 10 questions that have been asked at that Obama WhiteHouse.gov site as far as the petitions. And remember, you have to sign up for an account to be able to pull this off. So it's not just a click like. You actually have to go through, create an account, wait for an email link, click the email link to validate the account, then go back and sign the petition. And the petition had to get 150 signatures before it's even searchable by anyone else. So we cleared the 5,000 mark, which was the goal to get a response from the president. We had until like October or something to get that done, October 20th or something, to get that done. And we managed to clear 5,000 in just short of 3 hours. So this is the look at the top 10 petitions there on the We the People. And I've done it in a pie chart form where the top 10 are shown in various colors and the marijuana legalization ones are in dark green. And basically what we're finding here is that the Normals regulate marijuana like alcohol petition is number one by a long shot. As of last night, as I was putting this together, we had 42,267 signatures on the petition, making it 23% of all the votes. If you total up from all the top 10 petitions, we've got fully 23% of the votes for that petition. We got it in about 5,000 signatures, in about 3 hours, like I said. And then the next most popular petitions, are abolish the TSA in second place with 23,000 signatures. Is that right? We've got 42,000 on ours. The next closest is 23,000 signatures. The third petition, forgive student loan debt, has 22,000 signatures. So we have almost as many signatures on our petition as the number two and number three petitions combined. And the fourth one is the case of Shalom Rubashkin has about 21,000 signatures. And ours is not the only one that's gathering signatures out there. Marijuana law reform once again dominates the top 10 issues as well. Number six is allow industrial hemp with 13,000. Legalize and regulate marijuana is seventh with 12,000. Stop interfering with state marijuana legalization efforts is ninth with 11,000 votes. And end the war on drugs is 10th with 11,000 votes. So 49% of the votes on the five of the 10 questions in the top 10 have to do with either ending the war on drugs or legalizing marijuana. It is quite clear that the people want a change here. Now, when President Obama began his term way back in late 2008, he promised to be open for questions. In fact, that was the name that he was using, open for questions. He had a website, change.gov, that he was using. And in December 2008, even before he was inaugurated, President Obama, or at the time President-elect Obama, was using the power of online networks to solicit input from the public to shape his public policy. And consistently, every time he does it, marijuana law reform has dominated the discussions, and I've been reporting it to you. Let's take a look. back in the time capsule here. From change.gov in December of 2008, quote, the number one question, two of the top 10, six of the top 20, and a dozen of the top 50 questions all have to do with marijuana and drug law reform. That's 2008, December 2008. Open for questions, January 2009, the second time he did this. Quote, in the national security category, after 284,445 votes on 4,449 questions from 20,121 people, we find this, ending the drug war, the question in the number one slot. End quote. The third time they asked us about this, the Citizens Briefing Book, back in January of 2009, guess which policy idea is number one again with 44,950 points. The fourth time they did this, open for questions two, in March of 2009, quote, Obama addressed the pot issue head-on, noting the huge number of questions about marijuana legalization and remarking with a chuckle, I don't know what this says about the online audience. We all remember that famous Obama chuckle there. Let's see, that was March 2009, the fourth time. The fifth time, number five, Citizens Briefing Book in May of 2009, quote, the number one idea listed would have been the call to legalize marijuana buried on page 26 of the report. That was the time when he just completely ignored us, didn't even mention a thing about this. Let's see, ideas for change, the sixth time that President Obama asked about this, ideas for change, that was March of 2010, and, quote, I'm not surprised that our idea won yet again in nationwide voting on important issues. That's what I wrote back in March of 2010 with ideas for change. The YouTube Ask Obama Forum, this is the one that took place at the beginning of this year, the Ask Obama Forum on YouTube, January of 2011, quote, just like it has been every single time, the Obama administration has asked the people to submit their concerns online, marijuana legalization is dominating the forum. Interesting one on that one, too. When we looked at the questions and totaled them up for the top 100 questions, and I have a graphic for this at stash.normal.org with every single question in it. Top 100 questions all had to do with ending the drug war or legalizing marijuana. 100 top questions submitted by people with no filters, top 100, all had to do with ending the drug war or legalizing marijuana. And 9 of those questions had to do with asking President Obama whether or not he would take seriously or once again laugh at the prospect of ending the drug war or legalizing marijuana. And then finally, oh, by the way, the YouTube forum in 2011, that was the seventh time we had asked, President Obama had asked us. And that was the time when LEAP member Mackenzie Allen's question got asked. And that was when President Obama gave us this important quote.
Well, I think this is a entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Yeah,
I am not in favor of legalization.
Yeah, an entirely legitimate topic for debate. Finally took, seven times asking before we could get him to that level of response. And then most recently in July of 2011, the Twitter Ask Obama forum, or they could use the hashtag Ask Obama, quote, marijuana legalization in general made up 1 in 8 questions of the subjects asked. 1 out of 8 questions total of any possible subject you could imagine to ask the president, 1 in 8 had to do with marijuana legalization. So that was 8 previous times the president has asked us what we should do with public policy, and 8 times we have not just responded but dominated these forums to tell him that we want marijuana legalization. So now that we have this 9th time going on at whitehouse.gov, it's not surprising to me that we're once again dominating the discussion. Now, the traditional media likes to do their best to dismiss these clear expressions of public sentiment. And speaking of the public sentiment, let me give you a graph here on the screen. These are the legalization polls from Gallup and other organizations over the past 40 years on whether or not Americans think that marijuana should be legalized. And as you can see there in the top right corner, over the past year or so, we've gotten 3 polls from Angus Reid that have shown above 50% support for marijuana legalization nationwide. But the mainstream media, they like to dismiss it. The New York Times called our concerns, quote, a fringe issue like UFOs or the Kennedy assassination conspiracy, end quote. Fox News proclaimed Obama's efforts at transparency, quote, stymied by internet trolls, echoing Wired magazine's appraisal that asking Obama to legalize was, quote, the idiocy of trolls. Even the allegedly liberal Village Voice, the creator and supporter of tokeofthetown.com, mocked the efforts of, quote, YouTube stoners. However, with recent polls showing majority support for marijuana legalization, as you can see, especially among younger voters, and now a ninth online campaign dominated by drug reform issues, it becomes more difficult but for all but the most obstinate to ignore the big green elephant in the room. With a struggling economy and young adult unemployment at rates not seen since World War II, Mr. Obama ignores or laughs off this question at his electoral peril. He needs all the young votes he can get. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for Hour 1. And for those of you on the podcast, we'll see you tomorrow. For those of you listening live at live.normal.org, stay tuned. We got Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, coming up. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you grow it.